This is our final message in the discipleship series. And today it's Stewardship Sunday with the theme, Generous Giving. I have a good friend who resides in Florida. When I told her that I was preparing a sermon on stewardship, she replied, "Everyone just loves being hammered about giving, and the people who attend worship wish they'd stayed at home." Well, please rest at ease. I have no intention of hammering anyone this morning about giving. I want to tell you today about one of the most generous men that I ever met in my life. His name was Dr. Bob Pierce. Following graduation from the Pasadena Nazarene College, where he studied for the ministry, Bob Pierce traveled throughout the state of California as an evangelist. Following World War II, Bob worked for Youth for Christ. My first ministry for the 10 years was with Youth for Christ in St. Petersburg, Florida, and in Portland, Oregon. As an evangelist for YFC, Bob was sent to China to hold evangelistic meetings. He was greatly moved when he witnessed the wartime destruction of hospitals, schools, and churches. It was at that time that he wrote on the front page of his Bible these words, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." Little did he suspect at that time that God was soon to do that. In 1947, on one of his trips, he met Hina Hochdebor, a missionary teacher who presented Bob with a battered and abandoned girl by the name of Bayou. She was beaten. She had been expelled from her home because she just asked her father if she could go to school. Hochdebor told Dr. Pierce that she was unable to care for the child, and so she asked him, "What are you going to do about her?" Pierce gave the woman his last $5, and once he returned to the United States, he continued to send monthly support for Bayou to make sure that she was well taken care of. This eventually became the model for his future ministry. This experience broke the heart of Dr. Pierce, and it was to change his life forever. Pierce was deeply moved by the wartime poverty and human suffering that he witnessed firsthand in China. Then in July 1950, President Truman sent troops to South Korea to fight the North Korean armies who had stormed across the border and were overrunning the country. Dr. Bob was deeply moved once again, this time by a Presbyterian pastor of the Yongnak Presbyterian Church, Kyung Chuk Han, who actually personally led his entire congregation from Pyongyang, North Korea, to the South. Pastor Hong pleaded with Pierce to bring help from the United States to take care of the child and thousands of children who were roaming the streets of Korea as orphans and no place to go. Again, Pierce's heart was broken with the things that break the heart of God. It was in 1950 that Dr. Bob formed a small relief organization called World Vision. He created a unique sponsorship program based on the similar pattern of his sponsorship of Bayou. I well recall hearing this godly man saying to over 3,000 college students, with a Korean orphan on either side of him, "You may not be able to do everything, but for Jesus' sake, you can do something. Little is much if God is in it." That afternoon, I emptied my pockets, gave every penny I had. His message broke my heart as well. One journalist wrote of Dr. Pierce, "He cannot conceal his true emotions. He seems to be one of a few naturally, uncontrollably honest men that I ever met." Reverend Richard Halverson, Presbyterian pastor, former chaplain of the United States Senate, wrote, "Pierce prayed more earnestly and unrelentingly than anyone else that I have ever known. It was as though prayer burned within him. He functioned from a broken heart." Today, World Vision has become an international Christian organization that specializes in relief and community development in over 100 countries around the world, all because of a man whose heart was broken with the things that break the heart of God. Because of Dr. Bob's vision that began in 1947 in China, today more than 70,000 orphans have been sponsored and cared for. It all begins when God broke this man's heart with Bayou. Dr. Pierce resigned from World Vision in 1967. The following year, my family and I moved from Portland, Oregon to Arcadia, California, where I was called to serve as Minister of Youth of the 3,000-member Arcadia Presbyterian Church. The first Sunday I was there, a woman walked across the patio, introduced herself to me as Lorraine Pierce. She told me she saw my resume that I'd served 10 years with Youth for Christ and told me that she was the wife of Dr. Bob Pierce and reminded me that he also had worked with Youth for Christ before he founded World Vision. She said to me, "Why don't you come up to the house and meet him sometime? I think he would enjoy talking to you." Me invited to Dr. Bob's house. I was overwhelmed. Shortly after, I needed a mission project for our high school youth. I telephoned Dr. Pierce, and he greeted me as if I was a longtime friend and invited me to his home. I not only left his home that afternoon with a mission trip for Central de Amparo in Ensenada, Mexico, I left his house that day with a new friend, Dr. Robert Pierce. We became good friends, and we had lunch together, and we frequently spoke together on the phone. I discovered that his heart reached around the world. He truly had a world vision. One day he said to me, "Jack, I've just started another small organization called Samaritan's Purse, modeled very much like World Vision." My mind just began to spin. This man refused to believe God. With God, anything was impossible. He was the most generous man that I've ever met. One time when he was in Southeastern Asia, he met a leper on the road who was greatly in pain. Dr. Pierce had been diagnosed with a painful form of cancer. Not thinking of himself, he reached in his pocket and gave the leper his own pain pills. There was one word that was not in Dr. Pierce's vocabulary: impossible. He believed with God all things are possible, and that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He would by faith make promises of huge sums of money to supply necessary products for the churches and organizations, not having any idea where the funds were going to come from, because with Dr. Bob, little is much if God is in it. He would return from his overseas trips, announced to his board of directors that he needed this large sum of money to fill the commitments that he had made. He raised those funds by telling people, "What I want to share with you this morning, you may not be able to do everything, but for Jesus' sake, you can do something." His two daughters were in my youth program. I recall very well the very last lunch I had with Dr. Bob. It was at the Chronicle restaurant in Pasadena. He reached across the table. He told him I took hold of my hand, and he said, "Jack, how I long if I could be once again on the front lines working for Christ and his kingdom like you are." Tears were rolling down his cheeks, and they were rolling down as well as mine. I told him that I knew of no man more generous, more loving, more caring than Dr. Bob Pierce. I suggested to him, why didn't he follow the method of Jesus? Handpick a few people, pour what he knew into them about world mission, because I knew no one else knew mission like this man. Secretly, I was hoping that he might choose me as being one of those men. Sadly, a few months later, he went home to be with the Lord. Because of the vision of one man, World Vision and Samaritan's Purse both are incredible mission agencies today, because one man who was fully committed to God, his heart was broken with the things that break the heart of God. He based his entire ministry on the verse found in the book of Proverbs, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." He lived by Philippians 3:13. "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, we serve a generous God whose giving never ends. We serve a God that specializes in making the impossible possible. The God who generously gave us his Son. The God who chose us in Christ Jesus before he began the acts of creation. The God who knew every day of our lives before there was yet one. The God who knows every word we've ever spoken, every deed we've ever committed, every thought that's ever entered our minds, and he generously loves us with an everlasting love. The God who knows all of us are prodigals at one time or another, who anxiously awaits for us to come to our senses and return, only to be greeted with a celebration, not chastised. The God who generously offers to us the gift of grace, of freedom, forgiveness from our sin. The God who, in the midst of our storms, can calm them and offers us peace. The God who has offered us the gift of eternal life, life beyond this life, eternity in his presence. So, how do we respond? I think of those words the missionary asked Dr. Pob in China, "What are you going to do?" I ask you that very same question this morning. The Great Commission is to go, make disciples of all nations. It has yet to be fulfilled. The challenge of meeting the needs of the homeless, the orphans, the mentally challenged is yet before us. How then do we respond to the things that break the heart of God? Today we submit our financial commitments for the coming year. God has blessed us abundantly, even in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. There are those who have been extremely generous in your giving to PCLG, assisting us as we reach out to the community and to the world that God has called us. There are also others who face challenging financial circumstances and who, like the widow in the scripture lesson this morning, can only give a small amount at this time, who can't do everything, but for Jesus' sake, they can do something, because little is much if God is in it. However, whatever the size of your commitment, whether it be large or small, it is my prayer that will come from a heart that breaks from the things that break the heart of God. The challenge before us is daunting. Steve Fainer has a mission field in his ministry with and to the youth of his congregation in our community, and also giving our youth first-hand mission experiences at home in Mexico. Lauren Froman has a mission field of her own in her ministry with children. Michael Taylor has a mission field through the ministry of music that touches our hearts every week. Martha Wills and the Mission Committee keeps us with thinking of the mission challenges here at home and around the world. This year, we gave $178,000 to mission. Praise God. Do you think we could double that next year? Pastor Dave has a heart that's broken for a world, beginning right here in Los Gatos, but it doesn't end there. He, too, has a vision for the world. Pastor Erica has a vision for our church to be multi-generational family of God, where people come to know God and each other as we grow together. Pastor Taylor sees her mission at PCLG as reaching out to the Asian and international community. Lisa McKibben has given out over $40,000 to people in our community in need with mortgage payments, rent, food, during this time, our local mission. All of this is made possible by your generous giving. I dare not exclude my dear friend Carlo Penaghetti, whose great mission is to present God's message each week via FaceTime, by YouTube, during this pandemic in a quality way that will minister to all and attract others to our Lord. Therefore, remember, little is much if God is in it. This morning, I dare you to write in the front of your Bible, "Break my heart with the things that break the heart of God." I dare you to pray that prayer every day and then watch God work. Finally, when you make your financial commitment for 2021, urge you not to give what is just comfortable, what you've always given. I urge you to step up to the challenge. Trust God to increase your giving so that we can increase our mission at home and around the world. Think for a moment with me. If God could do all that he did through one man with a vision, Dr. Bob Pierce, what could he do through a church of 600 members? Let us pray. Almighty God, you've chosen to do your work through your people, every member of this congregation. You've called us to communicate your love by caring for the spiritually and physically poor and hungry of the world. You press our hearts, O God, next to the heartbeat of those caught in the syndrome of poverty and those millions who feel the hunger gnaw at them day after day. Dear God, help us as a congregation to respond to their cry as individuals, as participants in united efforts to care for those who suffer. Motivate us, I pray, O God, by the memory of your generosity to us, but also by the bracing truth that we can't continue to grow in grace without obeying your command to feed the hungry, care for the homeless, and love the orphan children here at home and around the globe. God, as I pray this prayer, I realize how easy it is to talk to you about the poor and then end up doing nothing or very little as your agents of relieving suffering. Therefore, this morning, God, I pray and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to give, to love, to care, and the gifts to those, for the hungry and the homeless throughout the ministry of our church, and also to spread the good news of your love, your mercy, and your grace. As you've been so generous with us, may we in turn be generous with our hearts stirred and broken by the things that break your heart. We pray this in the name of the God who so generously sent his one and only Son to this world, that we might be saved and be generous givers. Amen.